Blog Talk Radio.
Of the podcast. I'm your host, Derek Felix. And over the next 45 minutes live, we'll be talking about the world of sports. A lot of stuff certainly going on here in this crazy end of the first week of March. There's March Madness going on. There's conference tournaments. Teams are playing to get themselves in to the big dance, the field of 68. And already we've seen a few teams that have already punched their ticket in those small conference tournaments. So obviously some congrats out there, including College of Charleston with P1. Gonzaga, once again, dominating the West Coast Conference, destroying BYU. So that would be another. And quite a few others that are going to be in there. The Catamounts of Vermont could be a team to be heard from and one of the lower seeds. So certainly a lot of big tournaments going on out there. And this is the best part, probably, of the college basketball season. It's exciting. It's March Madness, baby, or it's March Sadness, baby. We've got some PTPers, as Dick Vitale would say. And we also got some diaper dandies, baby. So it is a great time, certainly, to follow the sport of college basketball. Of course, there's a lot of stuff going on off the court. I'm going to not discuss that right now. You know, whatever happens in terms of the Sean Miller thing with Arizona, it's going to play out. And I already took my stance saying that, you know, the athletes should be compensated, so it doesn't really surprise me. But if it was that amount of money, certainly it's not something you want to hear, but it's been going on for a long time. So let's get to the good part of the college basketball season, obviously. Got some Big East tournament. We got the Big East tournament underway. Got to have some semifinals set up for tomorrow. Villanova will be in the semis. So will Xavier by virtue of their wins earlier today in quarterfinal wins. You're also going to have Providence, who might have punched their ticket with their victory, overtime victory today over Creighton, a 4-point win there. And they're awaiting the winner of the final game, Seton Hall. They're in the lead, and they probably do need this game against the Butler Bulldogs. The Bulldogs, since they've come into the Big East, have not won a tournament game. And the Bulldogs probably need the game as much as Seton Hall does. So maybe even more, you know, because they only had 19 wins, and you know, they got a little bit of a question mark with but even though they do have Kellen Martin, and Seton Hall probably in, but you know, getting that extra win certainly would help. I got the ACC tournament going on over at the Barclays Center. I got the Big East at MSG, and you had the Big Ten tournament last week, which was an excellent tournament. That was at MSG for the first time, and very exciting, actually. And Michigan, with John Boehnlein, one of the best coaches in the NCAA. I remember him from West Virginia days, with his Princeton-style offense with the backdoor cuts and the three-pointers. And they continue continues to have a lot of success, especially at Michigan, and producing some good college players that turn pro, like Tim Hardaway Jr., like Trey Burke, who's having a renaissance with the Knicks, even though they have no idea what the heck they're doing. So talk about that. And the Northeast Conference had their bid along with the MAC. The MAC, Iota, is going again, and they certainly were the best team. Congratulations to the local Iota gals of Manhattan. And they're the team right now. They're New York's team. You know, as much as I'm a St. John's guy, I'm a St. John's alum, proud St. John's alum, and they had some big wins this year over Duke, over Villanova. Got that win against Georgetown, Mullen against Patrick Ewing in the third match, and were able to win yesterday in a good game. Excellent second half by Chris Mullen's squad. Certainly a lot of contributions there, not just from Shamari Ponds, who I hope will stay because I don't think he's ready for the NBA. I think he could get use it one more season, get a little bit stronger. I don't know how he would go if he'd go in the first round. He is small, and it's a little tougher in the NBA, so as we all know, for guards. And I'm hoping that he'll stay for one more year. He certainly had the big game last night with the 28, I think, or 29 points that he had. But the second half was about the other players. It was about Simon. It was about Marvin Clark II. It was about those other guys stepping up to the horizon and making the plays that they had to make. Bashir Ahmed, another one of those players, a senior. They don't have a lot of seniors, but and Tariq Owens blocking shots and starting fast breaks, and about the defense actually being disciplined and them not turning over the ball. And that was nice to see. And it was a real good win. It was a great comeback. They were down by 10, so they turned it all the way around and were able to win going away, winning by 11. Chris Mullen and Ewing, old friends, of course, way back in, you know, over 30 years from St. John's Georgetown was the rivalry. It's amazing to think that they're both coaches now on the sidelines. And Ewing looks the part. You know, he had been the assistant on a number of NBA teams and got screwed over and never really got a chance. And I didn't think it was fair. He's a big man and certainly deserved the opportunity. You know, he gets it at Georgetown, his alma mater. He sounds like the guy. I mean, he was giving the refs a little bit of stuff there at the end. Let them call it a little touch reaching foul. It was a touch foul when they're pressing and they're down by 8-9 points. He's like, come on. You're going to call that? And I just loved it. I loved that he was giving them the business. And Patrick knows the game. And I'm real glad that he's finally getting the chance to be a coach and he's going to turn it around there. He's got a couple of good players there. Certainly. So that was nice. It's nice to see him. You know, hopefully he'll be able to turn that program around. Mullen, of course, in his third year, still obviously a lot to accomplish with St. John's dropping today's game to Xavier. Just ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw there. Xavier finished first in the Big East for a reason. They only have 4 losses the entire year. They're playing for a 1 seed, and they look the part of a 1 seed. They certainly run a nice offense out there under Chris Mack, one of the better college coaches. I've liked him for a while, and he's done a great job. And last year he got the better of Sean Baylor, too. He's a very good coach. He was an assistant next to Sean Baylor, and then he took over. He's been there for about 9 years now. And every year, you know, this is a school that just gets it done. And this year they have an excellent team and a chance to do something in the NCAA tournament. I want to talk a little bit about the end of the game. Xavier just was better. And I didn't think, obviously, having the turnaround, having to play at noon was good for St. John's, and especially with Xavier being physical. But Mac had guys that had length and athleticism, and they were able to force our guards to the perimeter, and that was a big part of why they were able to pull away and win by over 20 points and run away with it after it was close for the first half and for a little bit of the second half. Kind of reminded me of part of the first game St. John's played against Providence when they went into that big tailspin near the end of December, near the end of last year. But I also want to talk a little bit about what happened at the end of the game, because when I first saw it, I was all over Brashear Ahmed for doing it. I didn't think it was a nice thing to do, obviously, not doing the handshake and arguing and teams almost coming to blows. But the final score was 88-60 Xavier. They ran away from St. John's. So they ran away from them. What was the point of continuing to score the way they were scoring in the last couple of minutes? That was understandable. I don't understand that. That's incomprehensible to me. So, and St. John's players even tried to get into the locker room. You know what? That's not good. Obviously, it's not a good scene. It's ugly. A couple of St. John's players didn't shake their hands. And you know what? I now understand why. It didn't occur to me that they actually lost by 28 points. But I remember, like, their last possession, there was a little bit of a difference between the game and the shot clock, maybe a five-second difference, I want to say. And for whatever reason, you know, Mac said no shots. He ordered no shots. I heard him instruct it, basically. And they said it on the broadcast, no shots. And then one of their players is dumb enough to get it to a big guy, and he dunks it. And I think that really is what set off St. John's and annoyed Brashear Ahmed, a senior. That's something that you don't do. All right. I mean, they were continuing to jack up threes, and the game was well at hand. So, you know, when Chris Mack wants to go out and critique our players and say, well, you know, bad job there. Well, you know what? How about looking at your own players too? Because the game was over. The game was long over. You guys ran some great sets. You guys were able to get good three-point shots. They also made some tough contested shots. And they also played terrific defense. They were a much better team. But I didn't like that. I wasn't happy with it. It obviously, from the St. John's perspective, I don't like to see that. But then when you look at the score, and I thought about that dunk, and I was like, and when he dunked it, I was like, what the heck is he dunking it for? That I did. I noticed that. But, you know, when you see it didn't really occur to me that they had lost by 28 points. And you know what? I certainly understand. I understand now why they were so upset. And the only thing I could say, obviously, not something you want to do. And I know Chris Mullen probably doesn't approve of it either. But if you want to make a point of it, then remember it for next year. Because when you play Xavier tough twice in the regular season, lost by a combined maybe 10 points, remember it. You got to remember, they should remember that for next year. And that's the only thing I'm going to say. Look, they shouldn't need that extra motivation. I want to be clear on that. But I do understand. I do understand now why they were a little bit annoyed and put off. And, hey, that shouldn't be, that's not acceptable. And, you know, obviously losing the game the way they lost it is not acceptable either. I understand they didn't really have a bench. And Marcus Lovett, you know, disappearing didn't help, obviously, of him going pro and his father basically steering him in that direction. And I don't like that at all. Let's let that another LeVar Ball, basically. But, definitely disappointing. You know, Ponce did not have that good a game either. They kind of got pushed to the perimeter. Ponce forced a couple of threes. Clark wasn't able to make his threes either. And one point rimmed out. And by then, you know, Xavier is up by 14 or 15 points. And at that point, you're just like, ah, that's the kind of game. That's the way this whole second half's going. And it just wasn't meant to be. It's also, you know, it's not good when you have guys in foul trouble. Owens, you know, Owens going to learn. He's a real good shot blocker. He's developing his that baseline shot. He's starting to get a little better at that. The rebounding, the defense is there for him. He stepped up in the Georgetown game. Got certain. I think there was a lot of improvement. I love Simon, the son of Miles Simon, of course. He's terrific all-around player. Probably the best St. John's player, to be honest. Yeah, as much as everybody talks about Shabari Potts with the points, you know, I mean, he's not a guy that's going to rack up assists. You know, let's remember that. You know, Simon, he fills the stat sheet. I mean, this guy can get to the basket whenever he wants to, basically. Xavier credit, they were able to keep him out of that paint. And he is just really tough. I mean, he put up a really great game against Georgetown. Averaged over 7 rebounds a game along with his 12.5 points and over 5 assists. I mean, he distributes the ball. And this guy was going to get better. He's only a sophomore, a redshirt sophomore. So he's got potentially 2 more years. So Marvin Clark's going to be back. So that's definitely a good sign. And Clark got a lot better. And the thing I'll say with St. John's is, you know, when they're aggressive, that's when they're at their best. Whether it's on the defense or whether it's the offense. When they push to the perimeter and they don't fight as much, whether that's because they were a little tired, that's when things could get out of hand. You're always a better team when you can penetrate, when you can kick, when you can move the ball and get some layups as well. And the same thing with the defense. And sometimes you got to stay away from the tacky fouls. So that's something Tariq Owens going to have to learn. So he'll have to learn it the hard way. But I'm really hoping Pons will return for his junior year because I still don't think he's ready. And I'll just say that. I'll come out and say that right now. It's obviously, you know, it's disappointing that they lost the way they did. But it's not surprising either. It really isn't. Xavier's got some real good players. Trevon Blewett had 27. He's really tough, I'll tell you. He's a very tough guy to guard. Kaiser Gates, off the bench, 16 points, including a few daggers from the downtown. And that's the difference, is that St. John didn't have that depth. You know, Mullen's basically going with basically 6 guys, and it's very tough to compete when you're going basically 6 guys. You know, you have to have that depth. And they got 5 points off the bench from Govich. He actually gave them a nice game in what probably was his final game, 5 points and 1-3. But when you have the bench, when you have a bench like Xavier does, and they're getting 16 points from Gates, they're getting another 9 from O'Mara and 3 more points from Jones, hey, that's 28 points to 5. And that's a 23-point difference. And that's where, you know, when you're St. John's, you're playing back-to-back, and these guys are playing basically every minute. I mean, Pons played 39, Simon played 33, Clark played 39. And, I mean, they're going to get worn down. And you saw it. Pons wound up with 15 points, but he shot 4 of 14. He wasn't efficient today. He did get 7 rebounds, 3 assists. And Simon only with 1 assist today of 14 points, and he fouled out. And only 3 rebounds. And Owens, as I said, a terrific defensive player, but he didn't put up much offensively and only played 18 minutes because he was in foul trouble. And you have to have Owens on the floor. They had to. And so, I mean, Clark had never a good game, although not from 3-point range. The 7 out of 10 from there, 18 points. And Ahmed didn't really do much, 6 points. So, but. Yeah, when you go up against that quality competition, it's going to be a lot tougher, obviously, to score and stay with a team like Xavier who plays that fast pace, and they're very well schooled, and they're very fundamentally sound, and that was the difference. And Xavier got a lot of points off turnovers, and that's something that didn't happen to St. John's against Georgetown. So that's where it stands. By the way, a real cool thing for Xavier, at least, is Amos Cantor, his brother, a younger brother, plays for Xavier, and he got to actually, you know, he actually got the home locker room. He got his brother's locker, and he scored 12 points in this game, and so I think that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool story in itself. You know, they only had 2 guys in double digits, but when you're getting contributions throughout your lineup, it's pretty tough. And St. John's shot terribly in this game, 6 for 27 from 3. That's not good. And they were basically knocking down the backboard. Pods they said 4 of 3s, 0 for 7 from three. That's just not going to get it done. And when they are pushed to the perimeter, when you are pushed to the perimeter, that's when you're not going to be as effective. Because if you're not able to get in that lane and get open looks, make that extra pass, it's not going to work. And Xavier was able to make the extra pass. St. John's wasn't. Xavier was 9 of 21 from 3. That's much better percentage. They shot 47.5 overall from the field. St. John's shot 35.6. So that's what we look at when we break this down. St. John's falls 16-17. They won 4 games in the Big East, 3 during the regular season, and 1 against Georgetown, avenging 2 close losses to Georgetown during the regular season, kind of what they did a little bit last year when they won in the tournament in a very close game with Georgetown missing at the buzzer. It's going to be another interesting offseason for them. And, you know, it's the St. John's love, you know. I know that there's going to be some good players coming back. And they've got a decent class coming in. I just wonder what's going to be with Pons. Is he going to realize that he should probably stay for one more year? Because if he stays for one more year, it could make a huge difference, be accomplished, obviously. And it could be the make or break year for Mullen. I'm pretty sure he'll be back for one more year. And then it's do or die. You know, you can't stay forever. Right? I love Chris Mullen, always be a legend. And I think Mullen did a good job, you know, especially with the improvement that we saw from these guys. They didn't have a lot. You know, when I understand he was hurt, but, you know, when one of your better players bails on you, it's pretty tough, like Marcus Lovett did, even though he was hurt and wasn't going to be back. But, you know, that's the bad part of the NCAA, in my opinion. Guys just bailing. I don't like that at all. And I think that's had it happen to them a lot over the past decade. So that's my first take, you know, setting up this show. Obviously, it is the podcast. It is Derek Felix. Solo right now. Number is 642-675-8226. You know, obviously, Villanova is a 1 seed. And they're going to be right there, I would say. So you have them with Brunson. Jalen Brunson's a terrific ball player. So he is a terrific ball player and Big East Conference Player of the Year, a guy who's very efficient. A guard who can shoot over 50% and distribute the ball the way he does, that's a guy that is just admirable. That's a guy that just has that high IQ, and he got Sporting News College Basketball Player of the Year, actually. He's a terrific player on that Villanova team. They certainly have a lot of talent on that team, but he makes it go. Jalen Brunson is the show. He does make it go. And Villanova's going to be a tough out again. Under Jay Wright. And that's the decision that St. John's is still haunted by right now, is that they didn't take Jay Wright. They didn't hire Jay Wright. But, you know, so that if you live, you know, that's these are the decisions that you make sometimes. Jay Wright, certainly a guy that's just been terrific throughout his career. I think he was originally with Hofstra. Yeah, he was originally with Hofstra, and then came over to Villanova, and he's been there ever since, and he's got 400 wins. The 56-year-old from Churchill, Pennsylvania, and he's just a terrific coach, gets the job done. He gets players. You have to get players. You have to have the talent. He gets the players, and they won 94-70. So they're into the semifinals. So what you're seeing is there are some premier schools. Villanova is one of them. Now, can they go all the way? I don't know if they're the best team. Yeah, I kind of think it might be North Carolina. They certainly got the most talent. Now, does it mean that they're going to do it? Or is it going to be maybe a Duke? I mean, Virginia also another team to keep your eye on because they're very good this year. They were the number one team in the ACC. So you've got some very interesting teams this year. Going to be a really great race, definitely. Michigan's coming in hot. They're coming in hot with the Big Ten Championship. A lot of people seem to like them. So there are a lot of things to look at. And what about the schools out west? Is Arizona going to even be in the tournament? If they are, how much can that freshman big dominate? Because when you have a player like that, it makes a huge difference. So, or what about Michigan State? Can they recover from the way they played down the stretch? There are distractions there. A lot of distractions because of all the craziness and just disgusting stuff that went on that campus. And it's embarrassing, to be honest. It really is embarrassing for a Tom Izzo program and for that whole disgusting thing that happened with the trainer, with the whole scandal, with the gymnast, with the U.S. Olympians, and that whole scandal. That's a disgrace. That really is a disgrace. So, you know, it's really difficult to put into words. And who knows what's going to happen there. But certainly a lot of excellent teams. You know, of course, there's a lot of parity as well. So these are all things to consider when you think about it. And I want to talk a little bit about the Northeast Conference. I want to talk about Wagner College, actually, because I am from Staten Island, and obviously I went to Wagner College when Will Frazier ran his he used to have a basketball camp, actually, at the old Wagner College before they redid the whole thing, and it's very nice. It's on Howard Avenue. It's on that Grimes Hill campus. A lot tougher with the snow, obviously, you know, even though it wasn't much as they expected, but still, you know, you get out of something school and there's all the snow on the ground. It's not easy to get around, but you know, they just don't come through in these games. I mean, they just don't come through in these spots, and it's bitterly disappointing because, you know, they didn't even lose one game on their home floor the whole year in the Northeast Conference, and they were the top team in the Northeast Conference. They get to the final. They got the game on their home floor. They got the fans, although LIU, of course, brought their own fans. And LIU, you know, it's not that far from Wagner anyway. But the way they played was just awful. I mean, I watched the first half, and I'd seen the script before. I've seen Wagner lose these championship games with the chance to punch their ticket, and it was tough to watch. Where they're just going one-on-one or one-on-five, and that's not going to get it done. I don't know if it's the pressure of the situation getting to them, but it just doesn't get it done, and it was very disappointing. And I want to give LIU full marks. You know, they played a much better game, and they deserve to go, and they're going to get to go again. So this will be their seventh appearance. And for Wagner, it's just another, as Dick Vitale would say, heartbreak hotel. It's same old Wagner, you know, with the exception of 2003 when they were coached by Derek Wittenberg. Yeah, that Derek Wittenberg threw up that 30-footer that was caught by Larry Charles for the dunk in the greatest upset ever over Houston, NC State, the 83 run, the miracle 83 run. Destiny's Darlings, the greatest college basketball moment or college sports moment in the 20th century with Jim Valvano. But, yeah, that Derek Wittenberg got 2003. They actually punched their ticket. So I don't know what it is, if it's just not having the right coaching or the players just don't make the plays. But it's definitely – you know, not something that you want to see from them. You know, you're hoping, of course, that they would have been better, but they lose the game by 10 points, and it really wasn't that close. And LIU certainly came to play. They had the 34-18 lead at the half. Hernandez was the best player for LIU. He outscored Wagner in the first half by himself, Joel Hernandez. He had 19 points and Wagner had 18 as a team. And big difference. He won the NFC toward the MVP. He finished with the game high 32 on 10 of 16. And he was taking the ball hard to the basket, and I like that. And he deserved the MVP. He had the great performance on 14 from the free throw line. They shot over 50%. And the Seahawks are 1-4 in the NAC title game now. So and that was the first Wagner home loss all year. But, I mean, they'll go to the NIT, but it's obviously bitterly disappointing. I mean, you can't shoot the ball that poorly and expect to be competitive, let alone win. I mean, they were 7 for 33 in the first half, 21.2%. And there were some shots that just weren't where there were some bad misses, and then there were some shots that just, they just couldn't score on layups for crying out loud. It was that bad. It was that bad. They made a little bit of a push at the end where they got it down to 7 points, got it down to 8 points in the final minute. And one of their players had a three, and it rimmed out. And that's the kind of night it was for them. Certainly disappointing. Congratulations to LIU, though. They were the better team. Wagner did make a push, but they never really got as close as they needed to get their crowd revved up. And obviously disappointing. And that's how it could be around this time of year when it comes to these tournaments. If you don't come through, I mean, it is disappointing. You also have the ACC going on. So you have the ACC. I mean, I know that Syracuse, they got one win, but then they ran into the buzzsaw known as North Carolina. The thing there is this, and this is a takeaway. I watched a little bit of it today because I didn't have a sub assignment today. And Boeheim around forever. And now he's overstayed his welcome. I mean, I like Boeheim. He's been a great coach for a long time, but he doesn't get as many players as he used to. And then he doesn't play enough players. And they don't always have size either. That's the other thing. He likes to do the guard-oriented team. And you have to have a little more of a rotation than Boeheim has. When you're going up against the talent that Carolina presents, I mean, it's a big problem. It is a big problem when you're going up against their bigs, because their bigs could really do damage against you. Pittson certainly they really could hurt you. And then you got to contend with Joel Perry the second at the point. So, I mean, they really could hurt you, and that was just a bad matchup for them, and that there was no way they were going to be able to win that game. And they pulled away from University of Miami of Florida tonight, a game which Miami, Florida, they were a good team, actually. They're probably a tournament team. They won 22 games, 22-9. They scored 16 of the first 18. They were up 16-2, but Carolina had already come all the way back to take a 32-31 lead, and they took over. Their towel takes over. And that's the thing. I mean, they have that TMT, too much talent, TMT. That's what they have. And they're going to be very tough to beat, I think, in the tournament, in the big dance. So Duke, you got Duke, obviously. And Duke was able to take care of Notre Dame. Notre Dame might have gotten themselves comeback win the night before, where they were down by over 20 points and they were able to pull it out in overtime. Is it enough to get them in the tournament? They have 14 losses. So, it's a lot of losses. I mean, but they got Colson back. So they got a couple of their stars back. So maybe they'll put them in. I mean, you know, if he gets this star back, they probably get put in. They might get put in. The win might be enough. Duke, 88-70. Bagley the third is a serious player. He is serious. He is seriously good. Michael Bagley the third, I mean, wow. He could just flat out play. He's going one or two in the draft. 33 points and 17 rebounds. That is serious. I mean, he is serious. I mean, the leaping ability he has. I mean, he can take you off the dribble for his size. He's just lethal. I saw him have a putback, a dunk, where he just flew. He was way up there. You know, a week ago, and Duke's comeback win over North Carolina on Senior Day for Grayson Allen, the polarizing guard who likes to shoot it from the outside, but he's a good player. He's a heady player. Cary Trent Jr. also can play. He can shoot it from the outside too. Krzyzewski's got another team that could really do something in the tournament as well. They're 26-6. If they can win the ACC, maybe they could squeeze. We'll see what happens there. We do have a guest, actually, so I'll bring him in as we break down a little more of the college and then do some hockey as well. He is the one and only JNF, Justin Flex Felix, on the line with us now. Welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up?
Well, a lot. I mean, just talking breaking down a lot of the college tournaments. Talking a little bit about Wagner, how bad they were. St. John's was not happy with Xavier running up the score. And, you know about the fight or whatever that almost happened?
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, apparently some of their players tried to get the Xavier locker room. So that's not a good scene, obviously. But you know what? You know, I didn't like what Ahmed did, but I understand that. I mean, because he told them no shot with the difference in the shot clock. And the game was over. You know, they ran up the score a little bit. And their big guy dunked. Their big guy dunked. And I was thinking to myself, that was a little strange. I didn't even realize it was 28 points. You know, even if there's a difference in the shot, you just dribble the clock out and just give St. Charles the ball, let them inbound it, and that's it. Yeah, so it's obviously an ugly incident, but St. John's is not the only team that deserves criticism here. I mean, because there was no reason for them to continue jacking up threes. So, and I'm glad that nothing else happened, that it was broken up. But I do understand, why it happened. So, and Mullen said he didn't even see anything. And they asked if they ran up the score. He said he didn't see anything. So he just took the high road. Yeah, I mean, but it is what it is. I mean, you know, Xavier is a very good team. And they are going to be a one seed. You could have two Big East schools with one seeds, you know, if actually, Philadelphia hasn't played well down the stretch. They may not be a one seed. They might have to win the tournament to be a one seed because Xavier only has four losses. And Villanova, they've won six of their last nine. So I don't know. I don't know what they'll decide. So you got the teams of the ACC are pretty good. In Kansas, I don't know if they're a one. They're either a one or a two. Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to figure out, to be honest, Justin. I mean, you know, projecting seeds, you know, you have all this crazy stuff, you know, with Joe Lornardi or whatever, with the whole, who drives Brian David nuts. you know what the crazy part is? I don't think Brian knows this. I used to do brackets. I used to create my own brackets and try to project the seeds myself when I was in college. So, did you even know that?
Do what?
I used to try to make the brackets myself.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
So, I was the guy who did it. But it is. I mean, certainly, you know, just looking, you know, at the picture, I think Cedar Hole won. Let me just check here. I'm pretty sure Cedar Hole got the job done here today, let's see. Wait a second. They lost that game? They blew that game?
Oh.
Cedar Hole blew that game?
I guess. I don't know.
Wow. Tyler Wideman with the final shot to win it. Tyler Wideman beat Cedar Hole at the buzzer. Cedar Hole loses 75-74. And, I don't see Cedar Hole. They have some good players. They've been in the tournament before. But that loss right there, the game that they were leading for most of the way, that might be costly. That might be their bubble burst. Their bubble might have burst right there. That's a huge loss. That is a huge loss for them to lose that game. Wow, I thought they won, but wow, I can't believe they didn't win. That's unbelievable. I mean, they do have 21 wins though. They are 21-11 overall. You know, Butler probably needed the game more, but I'm just wondering, what if the Bulldogs, are the Bulldogs going to get it at the expense of Cedar Hall? That's a real good question. Cedar Hall's got real good players. I mean, they got character. They got Miles Powell. They got the kid from Lincoln that I love, who might be a pro. That I love, that played with Isaiah Whitehead. He's a terrific player. Daisy Rodriguez. So this is a really interesting. I'm surprised. They also have Angel Delgado. They have enough players to put them in. I would say put them in still, but I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's like St. Mary's. St. Mary's also was supposed to be like a top 25 team, and they only lost five games, but they got knocked out in the semifinals of the West Coast Conference tournament, and that's not as good a struggle league. You know, it's a league where you sometimes get two teams. And sometimes it's just the team that wins the tournament. Gonzaga won the tournament. Gonzaga is rated very high. St. Mary's lost to BYU. That was a big upset in the semis. BYU then got smoked by Gonzaga badly. Gonzaga wound up winning by 20, but they were winning the game by almost 40. So, that loss by St. Mary's might have knocked them out. So, especially when form doesn't hold. So, that's the whole thing. But, they need some help probably to get in. So this is what you have with the March Madness or the March Sadness, because sometimes it is March Sadness for some of these teams, some of these schools who are trying to get in. So I call it March Sadness. But that's where I stand on it. That's what we've talked about here on this podcast edition. It's been a pretty good show, good podcast so far. Overtime and no sign of JP Benedict. He must have disappeared again off the radar, off the grid. JP Benedict, kind of like Brian David, goes off the grid. At the very least, we probably will have a couple of real excellent finals, possibly. You might get to see Villanova against Xavier in the Big East, 1-2. That would be great if it happens. And you also might get to see Carolina against Duke. So but those would be excellent to see. I haven't really kept up with the Pac-12 or the Pac-10. It's the Pac-12 now. in the Pac-18 or whatever you want to call it. It's like the Big Ten is still the Big Ten, even though they have like whatever they have in there. I mean, it's crazy. I always joke around about that, that they're really the big like 14 or 15. I joke around a lot about that stuff. But, you know, I mean, yeah, we saw Rutgers, you know, win a couple of games in that tournament. But no, that's right. They lost to Purdue. Yeah, Purdue's really good. There's a player on Ohio State who is terrific to watch. They have this one player. He might be part of the scandal, if I'm not mistaken. But there's just one player. He's really good, actually. So
you mean part of what?
Well, there's this college basketball, you know, whole thing report, you know, what? With guys who got paid or whatever.
Well, what did you call it?
Scandal.
Oh, that. Okay, darn.
Yeah. Trying to remember now. It is what it is, but. But there is a lot of talent. You watch some of the players. There's obviously a lot of talent out there. That's something that we watched. Penn State made a great run. They made a great run in that Big 12, or Big 10, I'm sorry, the Big 10. They might have played themselves into the tournament. So that's a school. And they gave it a good push. That's a school that might get in, certainly. I was gonna switch the topic to hockey. As you know, the Rangers had a nightmare of a game. It was such a great game, wasn't it?
They gave up 50 shots, and they didn't stop playing.
I think the Lightning just realized, you know, let's rest. Let's take a period off. Let's not. There's no reason for us to, you know.
How many shots did they finish up with?
Huh?
How many shots did they finish up with?
I think maybe 43 or 44. I'm going to say. What they wound up with for luck was 31 or 30. What was it? 31 or
31
or 33. Oh, holy crap. I mean.
How do you expect them to stop anything? You saw the chances they were getting.
I mean, they basically nearly scored 23 seconds in, but, you know, Jonathan's backhand was batted in by Stamkos' hand.
Yeah, I didn't see the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was on the phone with Brian and Colby. We were talking about St. John's. And I started laughing because it looked like the Lightning had scored and they waved it off right away. They made the right call. And then, not even like 2 minutes later, Lightning scored a real goal, and I just started laughing. I just thought it was funny. That's all I'm on the phone with him. It's 1-0. It's 2-0. It's 3-0. And I'm telling him what the shots are. The shots are 17-1. And I was telling him now it's up to like 21-2. And he's like, "That's really bad." it's just awful. You know, it's like boys against men out there. And Lundqvist didn't have it.
Yeah, but
there's
no structure on D anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, the amount of shots they wound up was 45. Lundqvist lost 4 on 31. And Gorgiev again.
Probably
going to have
60 shots.
Yeah, but Gorgiev continues to impress. I mean, this guy made 13 saves. I'm not saying he didn't face a ton of shots, but when he plays, he plays pretty well. So they might have found something here.
They might have played better in front of him.
Yeah. The interesting thing about the Lightning in this game, I mean, everybody can contribute on this team. I mean, Cedric kept scoring the first goal on an awful rebound that Lundqvist allowed to Kunitz. Bad. I mean, And they have other guys, you know, and then Adam Ernst scoring on you. Anthony Cirelli, a top prospect, imagine that.
He's actually playing
for the Lightning. And he gets a goal and two assists. He played really well. Played on the power play. He was terrific. He's going to be a good player. He's going to be their next really good player. They just find talent. A game where Hedman didn't even have a point. A game where Stamkos didn't have a point. Kucherov only had one assist. But a game where Point didn't score a goal. He scores goals in every game, basically. But a game where Miller, against his next team, first game, he didn't have a point. But his line had chances because he was playing with Gord, and they were getting chances. So, I mean, it is what it is. And McDonough didn't play. He's not ready. And who knows when he'll be ready. But I'm sure he'll be ready for March 30th, the final home game for the Rangers this year. Coming early. Coming on the first night of Passover, actually, Austin. So that's actually the next vacation. That's the last school break, actually. March 30th to April 6th. So, yeah. Hopefully by then the weather will be normal. That'd be nice.
Hopefully the bottom will drop out by then. If it already didn't. Hopefully the bottom will drop out by then if it already didn't.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. I mean, hey, at least.
When is the last game? April 1?
All I know is their last four games are on the road. I can't remember.
It's going to be ending at least April 8th, right?
It's like April 6th, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't even think right now. I just can't remember a Ranger home season ending in March ever. I mean, that's the weirdest thing ever. I mean, we know they played a whole bunch of home games early, and that's just so odd.
Which is not why I'm making the call, but whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. You know, I mean, maybe it's just better this way.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, really. But, you know, the Lightning are just an unbelievable team, and they're going to be even better when they get McDonough healthy. So it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy,
yeah.
I think. I mean, a couple of takeaways from this game. Rangers standpoint, aside from the fact they were just awful, and, you know, that happens. Spoon Man is just terrific. I mean, he had a goal and two assists in this game. I didn't even realize that, but I thought he had 2 points. He really is a heck of a player.
If he scores that goal, they should play Spoon Man for him.
Yeah, I call him Spoon Man. Yeah, I have to call him Spoon Man or Soundgarden. I mean, it's just what I got to do.
That's actually a good idea. They said if he scores at home, they should play Spoon Man during the break.
They should play Spoon Man. I mean, Hayes made the great play on that first goal where he makes the move around. And Kevin Hayes used to play well.
Actually.
Kevin Hayes, I'm going to vote for Kevin Hayes for the Stephen McDonald Award. I think he deserves to win it. I've watched him, and he plays his.
If
he plays,
knows that he gets traded, do you think this was the year he was going to get it or no? No, right?
No. No, I don't think he was consistent enough. I think there were some games where he was just not mentally into it. I think the choices.
And you blame him?
There aren't a lot of choices.
But we'll just give it to Zuccarello again.
He doesn't deserve it, obviously. He's just been a huge disappointment with the passing and just the fancy passing and the giveaways.
He'll get it, though. Don't worry. It's turned into a popularity contest where in the past it was actually based on who was actually the hardest.
Do you think that Luckless will get a lot of votes for how hard he's played?
No.
I personally think that there are three guys. Bless you. Three guys.
Thanks.
Kevin Hayes, Jesper Fast, and Mark Stahl. Those are the only three I can think of.
Kevin Hayes can get it.
Huh?
Out of the three, Kevin Hayes should get it.
Who should get it?
Kevin Hayes out of those three.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually thinking of voting for
three.
Stahl, but Kevin Hayes is the guy that's brought the work on. Vladislav Nemestikov used to be impressive. I really like the way he plays. I mean, he's very aggressive. He actually looks to shoot the puck. He should be centering the first line.
Who are you talking about?
Nemestikov.
Oh, Nemestikov, okay. Of course he should.
I like the way he plays.
Do you think he's advantage at the first line center?
Huh? Do I think he's a first line center? Oh, God. When has this team ever had a first line center? Nylander? Kind of makes you look for Stepan. I just hope that, you know, when these kids are ready, Elias Anderson and Hedl, that they make a big difference next year. You know, we'll see them for a little fluffy cup so the ELCs don't get burned off. And we'll see how much of a difference they can make. But, I mean, they have to make, you know, legit changes, obviously. They got some restricted free agents. They should give Hayes the contract. They should definitely give him the contract. He's earned it. The other guys, you don't have to go look for the other guys. Brady Shea's been very disappointing. He's just been terrible. Been lost. You could bridge him. I'd bridge him at this point. He hasn't shown me enough. Make him earn it. Spoonman looks pretty good, but he's 1 year away from unrestricted status, Justin. So I give him a 1 year contract. You know, it's probably going to be around the $4 million range, maybe a little more because of what he makes. And tell him, all right, show us that you belong. And so far, Spoonman's been great, been terrific, a terrific addition. So give him a 1 year contract. Maybe you do the same thing with Vesey. And Vesey is a guy I would keep because you have to remember, you know, Vesey's been jerked around by AV, you know, all year. And he plays one of those guys, one of the few guys that plays with that grit at that level. I like to see what he could do under another coach. You know, and I'm hoping it's junior hockey coach or it's a college coach, somebody that's patient enough to put their system in and work with these kids and let them make some mistakes and put them back out there. That's what I think they need to do. So where I stand, you have anything to add?
About the Nemestikov?
No, I mean about the Rangers. What would you like? What do you think about, like, you know, where they are with the restricted free agents? And,
well,
and,
I'm glad they're building.
I think, and I also think the best defenseman, the most impressive defenseman to me is John Gilmore. I really like the speed that he brings. I understand, you know, he was on for a couple of goals tonight, but it's going to happen sometimes. So you're not going to always be perfect. In this system where the forwards have to adjust and move into the right spots. You know, that's the other thing. You know, we're always looking at defense, but sometimes it's the forwards too. And if they're not in the right spot, it screws everything up. But the Hayes line continues to play well with Spoolbin and Quickie, with Fast. And Purple Hayes, obviously, doing a nice job. Nemestikov, you know, he's looked good with VC and Zuccarello, but, you know, the problem right now is, I know Zuccarello scored a goal finally. I'm not sure how about that. I didn't even have the game on by that point. But what kind of goal was it? Awesome.
Yeah.
What kind of goal was Zuccarello's goal?
I missed that. I was in the bathroom, I think.
Oh, okay. A Spooner assisted on it. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I would figure that we missed the Zuccarello goal. It's just so rare that he should puck. But Spooner actually got the primary. The Hayes goal was nice. That was Rob Bulgaria's shot. And that was a tip by Hayes there a little bit. Well, he actually went, I didn't go off the stick directly. Went off his leg, I think, but he got himself in front. And the thing about Kevin Hayes is that he's delivering. He's going to the aerials now. He's looking to shoot the puck. He had 7 shots in the game the other night, even though he was -2. But you know, he faces the top lines, it's tough sometimes. But certainly like what he's worked with here. And he seems like more of a leader now. When you hear him talk, before, especially after games too. So it's definitely a time. Obviously, he won negative. Look, I don't look at the fact that he got blown out by the Lightning as a negative, because I wasn't expecting him to win. Number one, and then number two, it helps our chances, with the draft lottery. Kreider obviously going down again and getting hurt again, that's a big drawback. Should Kreider have returned?
I don't know.
Kreider should. I know he wanted to. And, my question would be, all right, what's there, 14 games left now? Is there any reason to have Kreider playing him this year?
I don't know.
I would say no. There really isn't. May as well just shut him down. Let him get healthy. Bump up one of the other guys. Put Feezy on the first line. Or if you want, put Spoolbin on the first line. Because he seems to belong. Shattenkirk wants to come back. Is it worth Shattenkirk coming back? I'm not so sure.
Does it even matter?
It doesn't. So they're not making the playoffs. I mean, what's the reason to rush back? I mean, you don't want to get re-injured. I just think the organization, they should make decisions. And say, look, it's great that you want to come back, but we're not making the playoffs, and we want you to be fully healthy. Don't put yourself at risk. That's exactly what I would tell Kevin Shattenkirk right now. Don't put yourself at risk. So that's what I would say in terms of that. So there are 14 games left for them. So you have that, eight on the road for them.
Well, what'd you say?
And I guess and six at home. So that's where you are. Now there is a playoff race going on, obviously. You got an interesting playoff race. The Devils lost a really big game tonight. A game that they probably deserved a better fate in. But that would be the regulation loss that they had to Winnipeg. They're a very good team. I'm not going to joke around. They really are a very good team. Connor Hellebuyck, has proven that he's a number one goalie now. So the whole thing with that is this: Connor Hellebuyck, the American goalie. But Patrick Teemu-Laine, I call him Teemu because he reminds me of Solani. Yeah, I think that he'd have a lot more goals if he was playing. He'd come up in the early 90s. He'd scored a lot more goals.
Right.
But ever since they got Stastny, he's just been on fire. A hat trick, obviously, they had to get the Rangers. The couple of shots that he lost, had no chance of those, and the empty netter. And now he's up to 39 goals. So he's one behind Ovechkin. Obviously, you got Blake Wheeler, just a terrific passer. You've got Ehlers. He made the winning play against the Devils tonight with steal, and then set up Buffalo for a shot that looked like it was going to be an easy goal. I called it a goal, hit the pole post, and nobody knew where it was except for Ehlers, and he beat John Worth to the spot and put it into an open net, basically, with Schneider, kind of beaten and not knowing where it was. So the Devils, with that loss, they stay at 76 points. The problem, Justin, is this: the Florida Panthers don't lose games anymore. especially ever since Longo came back. But yeah, you know, with Sasha Barkov continuing to just light up opponents, and you know what's interesting? Did you know him and McKinnon in the 2013 draft? McKinnon went number one and Barkov went two. And when you look at them, they are both dynamic players. They are both just really good players. And Barkov is probably better overall. McKinnon is obviously up for the Hart Trophy. And Colorado was able to come back in a couple of goals, force overtime, get at least a point against the Blue Jackets. You know, the Blue Jackets are winning. You know, they made that trade for Vanek. That was a good move. And Vanek scored twice tonight. That was a good move because it helped their offense, helped upgrade their offense. So they were able to pull it out in the overtime, with Seth Jones getting the winner. So now the Blue Jackets, they're in the second wild card. They're starting to win. So the Blue Jackets,
yeah, they are.
They're only 1 point behind the Devils. Yeah. They're up to 75 points. But the Panthers, they entered 5 points behind the Devils. Now they're 3 points behind the Devils. They're up to 73. And they have games at hand. They have the games at hand also. So, you know, if the Panthers continue to win these games, it's not going to be easy for the Devils. You know what the Devils' schedule is? The Devils' schedule is tough. They have to go to Nashville. They have Nashville next in Nashville on Saturday. Then they are off until next Thursday, right? And they have to play the Vegas Golden Knights in Las Vegas. So, the Devils' schedule is tough. And then the next game after Vegas, at the Kings, another one of those teams that's competing for a wild card out west. So the Devils' schedule is tough. So it's going to be a challenge for them to make it. I wrote a real good article on the Hart Race. Talked about Taylor Hall, who's been tremendous. He did have his streak. Unofficially, it was 26 games in a row that he played. You know, I think the streak itself was really 16 because he had missed a game. But 26 straight games, he put up 38 points, right? He totaled 18 goals, 20 assists, and the 33 points. The 38 points. Unbelievable during the streak. He's been carrying the Devils. Nearly extended it when they made it 3-2 following the Oilers goal. Hall was right in front on it, and he started to play, but nearly got a piece of it at the end. But it was the butcher shot that deflected off of Jesper Bratt, and the last guy to touch it was Nico Hischier. So Hischier certainly did a nice job there to make it 3-2. The Devils were not able to tie the score with Winnipeg, even though they gave up a lot of shots. They're pretty good when they're up a goal at shutting it down. They didn't give Hall a lot of room. Tyler Myers, remember him? Remember Tyler Myers? Tyler Myers had a good year. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I see. Tyler Myers had a good year. If he wants to call us. He's such a knucklehead. When does it start? I mean, all you have to do is click the link and you can see when it starts.
I think you lifted it anyway.
I leaked the thing.
Yeah, but I thought you said it in the text anyway.
I didn't.
Oh, you should have.
Yeah, well.
Why wouldn't you just find out anyway?
I also leaked it in the chat. Nobody asked anything. It's like everybody just pretends to be dead. Ever since this whole Rob retirement thing. It's like you don't know what you're dealing with. This retirement Rob thing has just got it way out of hand. And Brian David. I mean, and JPG, he is off the radar sometimes. Off the grid. Off the grid completely, as Kala would say. But, like, you know, the whole thing is, I kind of feel like Taylor Hall, especially if you got the devil's head, when you look, if you know that he's like, he has so many more points than the next guy, Hishay. Yeah, Hishay got the goal and assist tonight, but that was like his first 2 points in a while. He's up to 43. And Taylor Hall, I think, has 74, if I'm not mistaken. It's a huge difference, Justin. I mean, he's so much reliant on that offense. Palmieri, you know, he just came back. He's been back for a while. Now he's scoring goals. But they really need Grabner to score goals. You know, he doesn't have a point yet. Not 1 point for grabs. Tough goal for him right now. But I kind of feel like the hearts are between Hall and McKinnon. McKinnon's got 10 game winners, and he's got, like, a ridiculous production. He was 78 points in 58 games just coming into tonight. Did he get any points tonight? Let's see. Let's just check. Any points for McKinnon? One assist. So he's up to 79 points. But Kucherov is leading the league in scoring. And usually what they do is these, you know, the writers, the professional hockey writers, they like to vote for the best player on the best team. And Kucherov, unless Malkin beats him out, Kucherov's going to win the scoring title. Or McDavid could beat him out. But not that likely. Kucherov, I picked Kucherov to win the MVP before the year. It's kind of a good prediction. But he's playing with Stamkos, and that team is so good, right? So good. Like, I kind of feel like it should be between the two guys who are the most valuable. So I feel like Taylor Hall and McKinnon. As long as they get to the playoffs, or they both get to the playoffs, I think it should be between those two. But I think you know what I think is going to happen, Justin. What do you think is going to happen? What's your prediction on the Hart?
On the what?
On the Hart Trophy.
Oh, I don't know.
I think they're going to vote for Kucherov probably and give it to him. That's what I think is going to happen.
Kucherov?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because they usually give it to the guy with the most points, or the guy on the best team. Malkin's obviously also a candidate. He's been on fire. He's second in scoring.
Yeah, there was only 2 points behind Kucherov.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's like, will Malkin cancel out some of the votes for Hall, some of the votes for McKinnon, or will McKinnon and Hall cancel each other out? Kucherov wins. I mean, I also included Brad Martin, because Brad Martin, again, is on a tier. The whole thing with him is that he missed a significant amount of games, and of course, he had that terrible elbow, which concussed Marcus Johansson. He hasn't returned yet. And he got suspended 5 games. He's such a polarizing guy. But you watch Martin play, he's money. He just had a hat trick in a game with 5 points. The OT winner, backhand top in a game. I mean, he's doing this without Bergeron. Riley Nash is centering that line. Riley Nash done a great job. I don't know. Maybe it's the whole Nash name. With Rick Nash now brewing. Riley Nash, a guy who was like on the Hurricanes, he's got 13 goals and he's playing well, centering Pasternak and Marchand. Marchand got the winner again. Marchand has, like, I think he's up to 67 points now in 50, 51 or 52 games. So, I mean, to me, he's also like a candidate, but he's not going to be in the top three. He'll probably finish like sixth. Last year he finished, I think, seventh. So he's probably going to wind up sixth or seventh again. You know, if Marchand was clean, would he get more votes? Would people actually look at him the way I look at him?
Yeah.
Marchand's a top 10 player. I've been saying that for a while. You know, the other guy that I threw into the column was Eric Staal. Eric Staal had a great year.
He did.
Point per game, 67 points. His 33 goals, or no, his 36 goals are the most that he scored since he scored 40. He scored 40 in 2010-11, so that's a long time ago. It's a long ass. No, the last time he scored 40 was 2008-2009. 2010-11, he scored 33. 08-09 is also the year that Eric Staal bedeviled the Devils in that miraculous comeback by the Hurricanes in Game 7. That great play at the point.
That was 2009.
Yeah, 2008, 2009. That's what I meant.
Well, 2009, yeah. Because the Rangers had lost to Washington, and a few minutes later, that was still the season.
Yeah.
I can remember that saying, well, that was worth it.
Yeah. I mean, you got home to see it.
No, we were home watching the game. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we were home. Yeah, that's right. We were home watching it. I mean, it was pretty interesting because of the whole timing of it.
You were just like, wow, I didn't expect that.
Who scored it? UC Okada?
And then Eric Staal.
Yeah, and Staal came down the wing and fired that laser of a wrist shot by Brodeur. So, that's too bad Rob Davis is retired. He wouldn't be able to eject me from my old show. Oh man, I could get a little bit of revenge on him, on his loose. But the heart race is very compelling. So I mean, it's a compelling race. Before he got hurt, I thought Patrice Bergeron was a real great candidate for it. He had 27 goals. 27 assists, 54 points, 55 games, plus 26. He is the best two-way center in the game. And he's just a money player. He just plays every situation, but then he got hurt. So, you know, it's probably going to come down to the guys that I mentioned. Which means, you know, the four players, three of them will be nominated. That would be Kucherov for sure. Be nominated. McKinnon will definitely be nominated for it. And then either Hall or Malkin will be the other guy. Yeah, that's the way I see it. That's what they'll probably do. So, it's a great race. It's compelling and it's exciting and it's a lot of things. So you have a lot of excitement, certainly, with that race. And you have the wild card race, the playoff race. It's pretty exciting stuff right now with the NHL. Some excellent stuff going on. The Panthers, they're trying to get in the playoffs, man. It's you have to give them a lot of credit. They continue to win hockey games. They destroyed the Canadiens. Well, that's like varsity against JV. You know who had three assists in the game for the Panthers, just?
Cool. Oh, Michael Haley?
No, Michael Haley. Haley scored a goal.
I was just guessing.
Keith Yandel had another big game for them. He's been on fire.
What's he doing?
Dude, you know he's got like, I think now he's up to like 19 or 20 points in the last like 17 games. He's been unbelievable.
What happens when you use Greg?
He made one of his great Yandel passes. I'm not talking about like one of those C passes, but like one of those passes where he's on the left side of the blue line. and he made like one of those diagonal passes for a goal, for a goal from Dadonov. Dadonov's been on fire. He's been like scoring all the Dadonov's, but Dadonov's a good player. Yevgeny Dadonov, the guy that they drafted. He played the first couple of years in the NHL. He looked like he was good. Then he went to the KHL for about 5-6 years. But he was in the KHL for a while. Now he's back, and he scored big goals for them. He's got 21 goals. He's been on fire. Ukstad scored again. He just had a hat trick. Trocheck continues to be good. He had a goal and assist. Barkov, I mean, he can't be stopped right now. He had two more assists, two more points for him. He's closing out 70. This team scored a lot of goals. And Luongo's stopping every shot. He got a shutout tonight. So you got Luongo playing excellent for them. He's 38 years old. He made 40 saves. Montreal had a late goal wiped out by review. So, but, like, I'm telling you, man, if the Panthers get in the playoffs, that's not a team I would want to play. It's really not. Who else won here? Carolina won. Carolina is up to 71 points. I think they're a long shot because they don't have as many, you know, first tiebreaker, which is Rowe, the regulation overtime win. They are up to 71 points, beating Chicago 3-2. That was a game they had to have. They've had some real tough losses lately. They have 14 games left. And the game-winning goal was scored by Sebastian Aho. What a terrific player he is. He's got 24 goals. So, from Teravainen and Elias Lindholm. Justin, who scored? Who do you think scored the tie goal for the Hurricanes to force overtime? Give you a hint. Well, Skinner's not scoring for them for some reason. I don't know. He's having an off year.
I'm not sure.
Mr. Clutch. Who's Mr. Clutch that's back on Carolina?
I
Mr. Clutch. Killed off in the Stanley Cup final.
I'm not sure. What's that?
Won the Conn Smythe.
What?
Won the Conn Smythe is a big scorers. Guys who just who finish plays and always play well in big games. Started with the Flyers. Was a big part of the Hurricanes in 06. Was with the Capitals the last few years. You should be able to get it.
I just can't think right now. Just tell me.
Number 14.
What does that mean? I don't know.
That's his number.
I know what it means.
His first name is Justin. His first name is Justin. Yes. Yeah, see?
Fine.
You got it. Yeah, so. And they got a win out of Scott Darling, who has been terrible. So, a rare night where Cam Ward didn't have to play. They actually were able to win the game. But they're probably going to fall short. And in a game that probably doesn't matter, because they don't win games anymore. The New York Islanders got a point in a shootout loss to the Oilers, losing the game 2-1. And once again, the Islanders find a way to not win a game. When is the last time they won a game? That's a real good question.
I don't know.
You know, when our team, right, with our AHL defense or whatever, we had a three-game winning streak, sweeping that Northwestern Canadian swing with Lundqvist making history with the back-to-back 50 save in both wins. And then you look at the Islanders, and they get points, but they lose the games. They still lose the games, and they don't get that win. Don't get those wins. What the heck does that say about the Islanders? I mean, really, jeez. What a joke they are. I mean, between Garth Snow not making any impact moves to help them, Brandon Davidson was their impact move for the Oilers. I mean, because the Oilers are so easy to trade with. And Chris Wagner is their other guy, playing on the fourth line. I mean, and they did upgrade their defense, which they needed to do. And Christopher Gibson got the start again. He made 35 saves, so he played good again. Maybe they should just have him start the games. I don't know. But do they have? They have 68 points. They're a long shot at this point, because they're not getting wins, and they're running out of time. So, and teams are starting to put distance between them. So they just look like a dead team to me. You know, that something's missing there, but I'm not sure what. But the defense is not good. That's part of it. Their defense, right? But they actually have NHLers, right? Not like unlike our team. So they're, it's really interesting. Or pathetic, to be honest. But the Islanders do have 68 points. But they trail the Blue Jackets by 7 points. And the Devils by 8 points with 14 left. And they only have 26 row. Whereas the Devils are up to 30 row. Columbus is 29 row. Carolina has 71 points, is 27 row. And in the other division, you have the Florida Panthers. Still have, Justin, by the way, Panthers have only played 65 games. So they have 17 games left with 73 points. And they have 31 row. I think the Panthers are going to find their way in. The question is, who's going to be at the expense of that? So, that's the big question. So, very interesting stuff going on with the NHL. We talked about the heart race, which is very compelling. Not much really, much else going on. Training, of course, in full force. Not going to say I told you so. Huh? I gotta get some rest anyway. So,
really?
Yeah. Working tomorrow. The Giancarlo Stanton experiment in left field. Not happening. He can't field. He's not even a good fielder in right. But indeed, he's just playing fly ball. So,
who's Aaron Judge gonna play?
What about Judge?
Where's he going to play?
I think he's still trying to get healthy.
Oh, Chad Judge?
He's coming off surgery.
What kind of surgery? I didn't even hear about this.
That's what he had surgery. Yeah. I think he's close to returning.
No.
But really not much going on there. Mike Moustakas, just a quick news point. He decided to go back to Kansas City for a year with an option for a second year. Yeah,
right.
He wasn't getting signed. Moustakas, the third baseman. So he decided to go back. And probably the right decision. So, it is probably the right decision for him to go back there. And not really much else to discuss. But hopefully we'll be able to we'll do another show. And maybe we'll actually get some people who want to actually participate tomorrow. All right? That's going to do it.
You're welcome.
Thanks, obviously, for calling in, Justin. And make sure you check out our podcast. I have work tomorrow, yeah.
Okay, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
All right.
So that will do it. Thanks, Justin, of course, for joining up. Certainly a good podcast. Definitely worthwhile. Make sure you check me out with some more podcasts coming up. Definitely enjoy the games that are coming up with the college basketball as tournaments come to a conclusion. And then, of course, they'll finally come out with the brackets. And certainly, it will be fun to watch. Maybe next show we'll do a little NBA. Discuss why I don't think James Harden, Mr. Bullhawk himself, is MVP. So maybe we can discuss that. Hopefully, we can have JPG on, Mr. Benedict himself, and we can have a big rant and a big argument over it. But a lot of stuff that we've covered. Tuning in. You can follow me at New York Puck on Twitter and NewYorkPuck.com if you want to read some good articles. Have a good night, everybody. All right?